I'm Karen Given, and it's time for three stories you should know.
Quick snap. Breeze. Pass is incomplete. No flag.
That's the sound of the infamous no call at the end of last weekend's NFC Championship game. And that's where we're going to start this week. Joining me are the Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman and ESPN's Ryan Smith. Welcome to both of you.
Great to be here, Karen.
Hi, Karen. Great to be here.
Ryan, you're up first.
Okay, so let me paint a picture for you of my story. It's the championship game, NFC Championships, Saints versus Rams, 1 minute, 45 seconds on the clock. Drew Brees throws a pass to Tommy Lee Lewis, and Mykal Roby Coleman hits him so hard, helmet to helmet, clear pass interference, it seems to everybody in the world, but the referees. What is so amazing about this story is here we are days later, and still, it is the talk of football. You've got Steve Scalise talking about replaying the game. You've got the governor of Louisiana writing letters to Roger Goodell saying change the rules. Fans are demanding a replay of the game. None of that will happen. But what is so interesting is what do we do about this missed call by the referees that basically changed the destiny of both the Rams and the Saints?
Rachel, what do you think?
Well, I do think calls for more replay are way premature. I mean, I think the NFL is basically threatening to go into a stare down with MLB over who can have the longest games. And this is not a good way to make them longer. It's fun when they go to overtime, but not when they go longer because of replay. So I think that is a very dangerous direction to move in, to just go toward replaying everything. And also, I think there are valuable lessons to be learned. Sports, like life, are sometimes unfair. And isn't it better to learn that in a football game than, for instance, on a battlefield or in some much higher consequence setting?
Yeah, don't tell that to all those Saints fans out there who are screaming and yelling every day. But I will say this, guys. The first thing is, whenever a play like this happens in football or in any sport, we always forget about the 40 or so minutes that came before and all the other opportunities that there were to change the game. Everybody forgets about that. But what I also think is interesting about this is you've got a situation where everybody is saying change the rules. What's interesting about this is there wasn't a call. So people are asking for replay, but the way football works is you've got to make a call. In a no-call situation, what do you do then? Say, why didn't you make the call? Then you're second-guessing referees.
But isn't that what replay is all about, second-guessing the referees? I mean, that's the whole point of replay. I go the exact opposite on this. Bill Belichick has been saying it since 2014, make all calls reviewable. And I think in this case, it would be non-calls reviewable too, but just don't give anyone any more challenges than they already have. I actually find replay in football interesting. I know that's weird, but you know, when you're watching on TV and the commentators are discussing the rules and does it mean this and did he do that, and you're seeing eight different directions on the play, I actually kind of find that entertaining. Where I'm with you, Rachel, in baseball, I'm just bored as can be. Whenever there's a replay call, I'm like, go back to the game. This is stupid.
I think making all calls reviewable is definitely a Belichick thing to say. I think he would love a five-hour game where he gets to challenge every call. The refs are there to institute the rules. And by and large, and I know people hate to admit this, they do a pretty good job. I mean, when you think of all the variables, there is somewhere a happy medium. But I can guarantee the referees are looking at this saying, guys, we just made one mistake. Please.
And let's face it, it's already one of the worst jobs in the world. So this certainly will not make it any better, more second guessing.
Definitely not. All right. The Brady Belichick era began 17 years ago with the Patriots beating the then St. Louis Rams in the Super Bowl. And that has led some people to suggest that if the Pats win again this year, Tom Brady should retire. Now, I don't want to debate whether he will retire, but Brady should retire, and not for the reasons you might think. This isn't about head injuries or whether he'll be able to remember the names of his children when he's 50. I say Brady should retire because we are all so damn tired of watching the Patriots win. And I actually say that as a Patriots fan.
Wow.
Maybe I'm not a very good Patriots fan. That's quite possible. But I'm tired of being the most hated team in all of football. I'm tired of watching the poop emojis that come up on my Facebook feed every time my team wins another game. I'm tired of the endless debates over whether the team cheats. I'm tired of Giselle. I'm tired of the Uggs. I'm just tired of it all. And it wouldn't hurt me or my fellow Patriots fans to remember what it was like to actually lose once in a while and therefore enjoy the winning a little bit more. Ryan, are you with me?
I absolutely am, but maybe for a different reason.
Yeah.
You know what? It's about fairness. It really is. I mean, 3 MVPs, 5 Super Bowl wins, 9 Super Bowl appearances with Belichick. It's not fair to all of us. We want to win. We look at Tom Brady. He's too perfect. The man hasn't aged in 2 decades. And I was taught that sports are supposed to be fair and everybody's supposed to get a trophy. Where's my trophy? I'm a Philadelphia guy, and the Eagles won it last year. But I want more than one trophy. Tom, please.
Rachel?
Well, so according to what you guys are saying, if Tom Brady retires, we'll never hear another word about him ever again in the future, right? So, because, you know, just being married to a supermodel and having piles of Super Bowl titles will render him irrelevant for all time. You know, I kind of like this endless will he or won't he. It's just like this wonderful perennial gossip column fodder, you know, about how he sort of patches his body together and various ridiculous methods he uses to do that. And just the awesome sight of him continuing to be so excellent year after year. I kind of like the not knowing part of it.
You know what's so funny about Tom Brady and the Patriots right now? They're so dominant that Tom Brady, I think, was walking down the street the other day and heard somebody say, the Patriots aren't going to do anything. And he literally made up a storyline that they're underdogs and got mad about it so that people could talk about them so that we don't assume that they're dominant this year. What is that?
It's that age-old ploy. He's a pro. He knows that, right?
I mean, I have to admit, I think the real reason I want Tom Brady to retire is because I don't want to live through the inevitable backlash when he does actually get too old to perform on the field and he loses more than one step, but 3 steps and 4 steps, and the whole country laughs at us.
In the beginning of the year, they said he lost a step, and all he did was become a top 10 quarterback, and they're back in the Super Bowl. So I don't know. He would have to lose about 75,000 steps. He'd have to say, I'm giving up on walking.
Rachel, what do you have for us?
Well, the U.S. women's soccer team entered 2019 the number one team in the world. It had a 28-game unbeaten streak. It came out of its January training camp as the favorite to win next summer's World Cup. Then, last Saturday, it lost. It lost big, 3-1, in a friendly to France, in one of the very stadiums in northern France that will host the World Cup. France is ranked number 3 in the world. It looks strong and confident in front of a sold-out home crowd. The U.S. team is the defending World Cup champion and has long been one of the most reliable bets in sports. So I'm asking you guys, is it time to hit the panic button?
They lost to the number 3 team in the world and we should panic? What a great life. Think about the U.S. men's team. They can't even go to the World Cup. They have a standing invitation to me to come watch it at my house the next time around because I don't think it'll make it then either.
Well, I agree that it is just way too soon to panic. In fact, I kind of think we should really kind of never panic. It wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if the U.S. became just a tiny bit less dominant at women's soccer. I mean, for one thing, watching the same team win every year is kind of boring. I'm looking at you, New England Patriots, but also because the U.S. women have a history of making it look too easy. And that historically has been a problem when it's come time to say, figure out what these women deserve to get paid. So it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if it looked a little harder. Sure, I'd love them to win the Women's World Cup again this summer. But more importantly, I'd like to see fans get really excited about the tournament. And I think some tight games or maybe a loss in a friendly does help ramp up that excitement for what's to come.
I wonder if they did it on purpose. That would be fun, Ryan.
That is a good point, and I did sort of wonder if there was some gamesmanship by Coach Jill Ellis, because several key players for the U.S. sat out, including Megan Rapinoe, who's a great scorer. And so I do wonder if Ellis was sort of telling her team, okay, let's see how good you really are with when you're not at full strength. And I think we found out that, you know, there are some vulnerabilities when they play in a hostile environment at less than full strength.
But then they came right back and beat Spain. So it's not all panic time.
Indeed. Their European tour on balance is on track.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been The Wall Street Journal's Rachel Bachman and ESPN's Ryan Smith. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you, Karen.